Welcome to episode 20 of the Great Lakes Football Talk presented by Fantasy Football Fraternity. Today we're going to be going over the AFC South, but first let's get into some news and notes.
This week's news and notes.
Deonta Foreman was released today by the Houston Texans. And before we get into possible teams that could be trading a running back to them, Foreman was later claimed by the Indianapolis Colts, so we're going to be talking about them a little bit. Not too much about Foreman. I don't think he holds any true fantasy value, but a couple teams that I could see maybe possible trade partners, because there really isn't a lot of depth behind Lamar Miller, which we'll also talk about there, being in the AFC South. But the Bills, the Ravens, and possibly the Broncos have some running backs to spare. Do you guys got anything, not necessarily about Foreman, but maybe some running backs that you could see going their way?
Yeah, I mean, I could see definitely Denver. Lindsay, you would imagine, safe. They just signed Theo, so maybe they do something pretty ballsy and move Royce Freeman. I mean, I know Freeman originally was supposed to be the guy to do last year what Lindsay did, but who knows? Maybe they just decide to make that bold choice and just look at Lindsay as your future and at least try to get probably a second or third round pick for Royce Freeman.
They also do have Devontae Booker too. That's kind of who I was thinking about. Eric, do you see maybe not even just these three teams, but do you see anybody going back their way just behind Lamar Miller?
No, they like the two undrafted rookies they brought in, and I've heard some good things about Josh Ferguson in camp. If they bring any of those teams, I think Buffalo would be the one. I mean, maybe if they can get out from underneath any money they owe McCoy, since they have so many running backs on the roster. But I mean, Baltimore, I think they'd be better off just waiting for teams to make their cuts and claiming somebody that way, as opposed to trading any assets to acquire backup running backs.
Oh, guys, what about this, though? What if knowing Gordon wants to get out of from the Chargers? What if that happened? I mean, Lamar Miller maybe go to more of a Austin Eckler type role, and then eventually just have it where Gordon just takes over after like next year or after this season.
That'd be nice. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, definitely a possibility, but it's, I don't know. I mean, you really don't see big names like that get moved. Houston, they trust a lot of Lamar Miller. His ranking is definitely going to go up. I think all three of us are going to move him up in our own personal rankings, and then his draft stock is just going to rise a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, they definitely have the cap space. They were one of the teams that we thought before free agency started that would be in the market for Le'Veon Bell. And obviously that didn't happen, but they definitely have the cap space. I believe I also read today, unrelated to the running back position, that Jadeveon Clowney plans on attending camp, ending his holdout sometime soon. So not that I would necessarily think that a trade for a running back for a defensive end straight up would happen, but I think that Clowney being moved out of there is probably not a possibility anymore. Moving on, we got... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to go to the next news.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Moving on, we got Tom Brady signing a 2-year extension. He's now under contract until 2022. That takes him off the market for next year, which we pretty much figured he wasn't going to even enter the market next year. But other quarterbacks like Breeze, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Jameis Winston, and Marcus Mariota, and even Teddy Bridgewater are all scheduled to become free agents after this season. I could see a couple of them getting extensions from their teams, but it's a pretty hefty quarterback class. I mean, Eli, Rivers, and Breeze are all on the end of their career, but still a pretty deep quarterback class going into free agency. Any thoughts on those guys, Eric?
I don't see – if Winston doesn't perform – Mariota doesn't perform, guys could definitely hit free agency. Rivers, Eli, and Breeze are all the guys. They're all either going to be re-signed or I don't think play. I think they're going to retire. Rivers and Breeze re-sign and Eli retires. I think that's the most likely scenario.
It passes the torch over to Daniel Jones. Any thoughts on any of those quarterbacks, Adam?
Yeah, Breeze and Rivers, they're not going nowhere. It wouldn't be surprising, though, if Eli ended up signing somewhere else, just because if his brother Peyton can go and switch teams, even though there's a different situation, but if he could go and leave Indianapolis and go over to Denver, I would imagine if Eli wants to play another year or two, and if the Giants don't offer him that contract and they just hand the reins over to Daniel Jones, I could definitely see Eli signing somewhere, maybe even like a Tampa if Winston doesn't do that good.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I mean, if we see another season like Eli had last year, I think he might just hang it up and just swallow his pride. But it's going to be interesting. We got a bunch of good quarterbacks coming out in next year's draft too. So the early part of the draft and the guy and the teams looking for quarterbacks might be grabbing those guys and leaving guys like Eli. Yeah, I mean, almost any team would like to have Eli as a backup on their bench, but who's going to pay that kind of money? Moving on here, Josh Gordon has applied for reinstatement. The Pats also did sign Cameron Meredith after he was released by the Saints. So, I mean, Meredith really hasn't been much since Chicago. And if Josh Gordon does get reinstated, who knows if he's going to be suspended for any amount of games. But this wide receiver core that is, I mean, on paper right now, really not that strong. And they end up, if they do get Josh Gordon back and Cameron Meredith back, and they just signed Tom Brady to a two-year extension, they could go from one of the weaker wide receiver cores to one of the stronger wide receiver cores in just a snap of a finger. So any thoughts on possible Josh Gordon reinstatement?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably his final chance, too. If he gets reinstated, this is one more field test. He's probably done.
Yeah, if Gordon comes back, he's definitely a guy you need to be targeting and picking up. He should shoot way up into the – I mean, if he's reinstated and starting week one, he should be drafted, I would say, in the 7th or 8th round, maybe 9th. Like, there's a lot of risk there, but he will absolutely return on that value if he plays 16 games. Meredith is interesting, but who knows? We got to see it shake out, see who they cut. But if you're doing late drafts, he might be a guy to target super late in your draft.
If you're doing a draft, say tomorrow, are you and where are you drafting Josh Gordon?
If I'm doing a draft tomorrow and I have a deep bench, I'll take a shot on him really late. But, you know, it's just those, yeah, I guess I could take a shot on him in the 14th, 15th round, but I'm not targeting him.
Adam, you taking him?
Yeah, same spot as Eric. I mean, if I go and I have, you know, Devontae Adams, Mike Thomas, Julio Jones, and then pair him with like a Kelvin Ridley or a Chris Godwin, a good core, then yeah, I think he's definitely worth a late round pickup if you're drafting tomorrow. Just for the reason is he can give you that wide receiver one, wide receiver two player at the very end of your draft, which if that happens, man, if you drafted well, you're already going to have a phenomenal team then.
Yeah, I could agree with both of you guys. Finally, Carlos Hyde has taken every advantage that he can of his opportunity with presumed starter Damian Williams missing some time with a hamstring injury. Hyde is on his third team in 2 years and is looking for a chance to return to his San Francisco form. I know, Eric, you like Carlos Hyde. You actually just traded him away in our Dynasty League. And I don't know if you're as high on him as you were while you had him on your roster, but any thoughts on the KC situation, the running back situation, just not just Carlos Hyde, but just in general, the KC situation?
Yeah, I've been, tooting the horn of Damian Williams is a super, super high risk guy. And I'll never have on goes too high. I think he has huge upside, but he's an injury prone guy. He always has been. He's always been a backup. Guys that have those late season flares and then come in the next season and they're drafted really highly. Those are guys with huge bust potential. You see it every single year. So I'm avoiding Damian Williams. I like Carlos Hyde. I still like him. If I didn't need some receiver depth, I wouldn't have traded him. I need some more guys I could play at my receiver position. I got MVS, and since it's a dynasty league, you know, Carlos Hyde, it was more of a long-term kind of play for me.
Definitely a good move. I mean, I don't hate the trade. Adam, any thoughts on the KC backfield?
If Damian Williams goes and misses the first couple weeks of the preseason and Hyde comes in there and he just looks like the Hyde of old, we could see a complete complete 50-50 split, or we could even see it where Damian Williams goes back to his normal change of pace role and just have Carlos Hyde be like the main back there, because he's done it before. And I think his skill set resembles more of a Kareem Hunt than what Damian Williams does. So it might actually just be the perfect fit, him actually starting for KC. It could just make it click, just like they never missed Hunt.
It's going to be fun to see. KC is supposed to put out an explosive offense this year. The running game is definitely the weakest spot of the offense, but, I mean, they could definitely make it work. They definitely have the talent and the offense to do it. Moving on to today's podcast, it's the AFC South. Got a few good fantasy relevant names in here. Got one of your top receivers in this division. Got one of the top quarterbacks in this division. So let's break it down. Let's start with the Houston Texans. They have in their top five rounds, the only player that they have in the top five rounds is that wide receiver, that's Hopkins. He's going around 106. I just want to make a note here that Watson and Miller just missed it. They're in the sixth round, Watson at 601 and Miller at 607. And I want to bring that up because I don't think it's updated since the Foreman release, which happened today. So I'm not sure if Miller is going to go up or not, but currently from the last time I checked, he is at 607. So, but right now, Hopkins is the only guy going in the top five rounds there at 106. Adam, we'll start with you. Break down the AFC South, the Texans for us.
This is a team that can definitely win. Watson, I definitely think he's going to compete for a top three finish this year. It would not shock me if he ain't going to have the season Mahomes had last year, but I think he could put up a good enough season to actually be the QB1 this year. I love Lamar Miller. You know what you're going to get. You're going to go get him in round 6, 7, 8, and you're going to get a solid RB2 week in and week out. They upgraded the offensive line in the draft, even though those selections, for me personally, were somewhat questionable. But as you know, as we're going to read in the draft guide, when I wrote my Lamar Miller piece, my Deshaun Watson piece, would any of help on that offensive line, no matter if it was just a free agent signing, that's a minor signing, or even undrafted free agent that somehow makes his team, it's going to be an upgrade. Watson got sacked, I think it was 62 times last season. That number is expected to come down by a substantial amount. Kiki Cordy, Will Fuller, if those guys can stay healthy, I like both of them. Fuller as a wide receiver 3 flex play. Cordy, if he can just stay on the field, I think it's something that he can definitely. I think he's more talented than Fuller. I think he can go and maybe be, on a good Deshaun Watson day, be a wide receiver 2, and then Hopkins, you know, he's a top fantasy receiver in the game right now. He's going to be that for the foreseeable future. And the defense is good too. I mean, J.J. Watt is still arguably one of the top. The top IDP guys to draft when it comes to your defensive line spot. If your draft actually has where you break down linebackers, defensive backs, and D linemen, Whitney Merciless there, Zach Cunningham, I think is going to do big things this year on that defense. Clowney's coming back, which is going to be really helpful. And I even like a sleeper on the defense. I know we really don't talk about IDPs too much, but Lonnie Johnson, the rookie from Kentucky, he literally got sent home from practice today for literally playing too hard. They had I also like to bring this up because Eric's a Packer fan. He laid out 2 Packers players in practice today, which is supposed to be very limited contact. He just completely floored the one guy, and I was a fan of his at Kentucky too, so it's good that he has that drive and that hunger. And you know, a lot of guys, if they get their opportunity when they have the hunger and the drive to it, they do big things. So it's going to be exciting to see the defense as a whole for teams that draft just whole defenses. Someone you want to target, and this is going to be a good all-around fantasy team. Maybe one of the best, if we're looking at IDPs too, maybe one of the best all-around fantasy teams coming into the season.
All right, Eric, well, first I'll give you a chance to defend your Packers, and then let's get your thoughts on the Houston Texans.
All right, well, I don't really have to defend the Packers. I think the coaches of the Texans did that when they kicked the guy off the field for playing too hard before the preseason even starts. We just don't need that. But, Deshaun Watson, as Adam said, he definitely is going to contend for the number one quarterback this year, I believe. I really like how high his floor is. He does get sacked a lot, but because of his rushing upside, I think he's a great option at your quarterback position. I don't take him because I take quarterbacks a little later. but you should definitely be looking at him in your draft if you like quarterbacks a little earlier. Hopkins, there's not a whole lot to say about it. He's one of the top two, top three wide receivers in the game, depending on how you rank him. But he's a first-round guy. QT, I really like him PPR leagues. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls as long as he stays healthy. Him and Fuller, that's their kind of caveat there. Neither one has proven they can stay healthy, though you know you draft them with risk. But because QT goes later, it's less of a risk and more of a gamble I'm willing to take. Fuller, I don't end up with him on any teams. I mean, his efficiency is just off the charts. I just can't see it maintaining the way it goes when he's on the field with Deshaun Watson. It's insane, but it'd be nice to see it for a whole season to see, but it just hasn't happened. I don't know if it's in the cards. There's almost no notable tight ends for the Texans. I think I don't even know if I can remember the name of the guy, the only guy they have there. But the Texans defense, they're a decent squad. There's somebody you can pick up, and if you know they don't perform too well at the beginning, you can drop them in stream. But overall, I do like the – oh, and Lamar Miller. I don't want to forget about my guy, Lamar Miller, a guy I've been touting the whole offseason. I just think he's the perfect RB2. You take in the sixth round, you stack your tight end and your running back one, and then stack up three good receivers, and then you take Lamar Miller and just plug him in, and you don't got to worry about it. He's not going to blow you away, but he's not going to kill your team either. So, yeah, I'm in on the Texans. I like the team.
All right. I agree with a lot of your guys' points. The tight ends, Jordan Thomas is basically their tight end one, and then they drafted Cahal Warring in the third round this year. He's one of the rookies of their team to look out for. Behind Lamar Miller, they got a trio of rookies. I'm going to probably butcher the names, but I'm not sure who really is the immediate cuff. I'm not even sure if it's one of these three guys, but definitely in deeper dynasty leagues and really deep benches, you might want to grab one or even two of these guys if Lamar Miller happens to go down. But you got Karen Higdon, you got Demaria Crockett, and Cullen Gillespie.
There's no way that's how you pronounce that.
probably not, but I mean, if you see that name that's something like that on your free agent list or waiver wire list, and that's who I'm talking about. I think that the wide receivers, I mean, definitely a lot of potential there. Obviously, Hopkins is Hopkins. I think he's my number one receiver. It's neck and neck with Adams, but I mean, Hopkins has been doing it a little bit longer with a little bit less at quarterback, so definitely. He's my number one. I think that if Fuller and QT stay healthy, that they can compete with your Falcons and your Browns with having possibly three 1,000-yard receivers. But that's a big if. They got to stay healthy, and they haven't really done it. So Deshaun Watson, I mean, with the talent that he has at wide receiver, and as you mentioned, his rushing upside, definitely could finish there in the top three, top five as far as quarterbacks go. I'm not as high on him as you guys are, but in the sixth round, I mean, that's where he's going. And if I'm sitting there in the sixth round and he's sitting there, I definitely would not hesitate to take him if I haven't taken an Andrew Luck already, or if I don't want to wait on a quarterback, definitely would take Deshaun Watson there. So yeah, I mean, everything you guys said, I definitely agree on. Their defense is pretty strong. A defense that is getting drafted in mock drafts that I've been seeing. So overall, pretty good team there. Moving on, we'll go to the Colts. Their five round ADP, they got T.Y. Hilton going at 304, Marlon Mack going at 308, and Andrew Luck going at 505. Again, this is probably before the Foreman news. I don't know if that drops Mack at all or if Foreman is even going to be relevant, but Foreman is now with the Colts, and Marlon Mack still going at 308 as of when I looked at it today. And then Andrew Luck going in the top five rounds at 505. Eric, we'll start with you on the Colts.
Okay, Andrew Luck, another great quarterback, one of the top five guys, if you ask me. Once again, will not own him in very many leagues because I'm not a quarterback almost any of the time. But, I mean, you can expect 300 yards and 2 to 3 touchdowns pretty much every week from him. The receiving core is phenomenal. I mean, they have so many weapons, so many good tight ends and receivers. And Nyheim Hines out of the backfield. And Marlon Mack can catch, too, even though he doesn't do it very often. So, I mean, lot of weapons there for Andrew Luck to spread to. I love him as a QB. Mac, I don't think the Dante Foreman going there affects Mac. I think that I don't even know if he's going to be healthy. That's the whole thing is Bill O'Brien, you know, cut him because he didn't feel like he was taking his efforts to get healthy seriously, and he wasn't really taking control of that. And so who knows? I mean, they claimed him, but that doesn't mean they're going to keep him. You know, he could be dropped and cut before the season starts just as easily as any other running back on the roster. I love Marlon Mack, where he's going, middle of the third round. I think he has huge touchdown upside. He's not going to catch a lot of balls for you, so he's better in standard PPR. But I still like Mack in the middle of the third, especially if I take a couple steps in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of, or the first and second round in the middle kind of area. T.Y. Hilton, I like T.Y. Hilton, but I don't have him ranked high enough to take him where he's going. There's some guys behind him I like better. I like better. I like Edelman better. Keenan Allen's usually going after him as well. That's kind of the range I'm usually looking for a running back. There's guys there that I like. Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack, Josh Jacobs, they're all guys I would take over T.Y. Hilton. And Hilton's going at the end of the second, beginning of the third, typically when I'm in mock, so I don't get it. There's, you know, some sleeper guys to look at there. And the tight ends there, of course, Ebron and Jack Doyle, I think are both going to be relevant. I think Ebron's being drafted too highly because I think Doyle is going to be the actual number one tight end there. And Ebron basically offers touchdown upside. That's how I see it. I don't see him scoring 11 again like he did last year. But Funchess is a good sleeper guy to keep your eye on. I think he's also going to have huge touchdown upside. And Paris Campbell, he's been kind of spotty. Like, you hear great things about him, and then you hear negative things about him in camp, so it's something to keep your eye on. But overall, a good offensive team. The defense should actually be pretty solid, too, if you want to draft. The problem is they play it in, you know, in this division with the Texans, and the Titans can put up points, too. So it's just somebody. Like I said, with the Texans, you can pick them up, and if they don't perform, drop them on the stream. But I like the Colts overall.
All right, Adam, what are your thoughts on the Colts?
Yeah, I agree with Eric. You have Andrew Luck, who now is healthy. He's going to be a weekly QB1, a guy that any week can win you, you know, that week personally. Marlon Mack, big upside. Hines, the backup, he had some touches, he had some carries. He was a decent factor in the passing game, but I don't know how that's going to play out now that they actually have a better wide receiver core. Huge on Devin Funchess this year. I think he could put up some huge numbers and definitely be like a top 25, top 30 guy this year. He's going later in drafts, and you're just going to get, I think, after like almost instantly, you're just going to get a steal. Jack Doyle is going to be the tight end there. Eric Ebron had a really crazy year last year, but I don't see him doing it now, especially with the depth they have at the receiver position. They don't have to lean on the tight ends as much as they had to last year. Paris Campbell, the talent's there, but it, like Eric mentioned, it has been up and down for him. But if he can have more ups and downs, you can get a very, very dynamic receiver in dynasty leagues and off the waiver wire, which where he should go in redraft leagues, just because what we know how rookie wide receivers don't always perform well their first year. The defense is going to be good. Darius Leonard, Anthony Walker, Justin Houston's there, so a guy for sacks. I would prefer to get draft the defense as a whole role than individually outside of basically Leonard and maybe Houston individually in IDPs. Rockyson, I love the name. He's a small school guy that ended up going in the beginning of the second round. I think he's going to play a huge part for him. He's going to definitely help that defense. But this is a team, man, that's going to help you fantasy-wise. And it's going to be fun to watch him just playing and winning games because this is going to be a dangerous team. I don't know if that offensive line is going to hold up as much as it did last year because Luck was sacked, I think, like 18 times last year. And that was crazy. It was barely, you know, from 2 years ago and even seasons before then, just having a horrible offensive line. And all of a sudden, it just being really the top offensive line in the game. It was crazy. That was a large part of their success as well.
Yeah, I like the Colts a lot this year. That's I think that they win the AFC South. I have T.Y. Hilton in a couple leagues. I got Andrew Luck in actually my three-player keeper league that we have. I'm keeping him in the 11th round, so that's a hell of a steal there. I've never really been a fan of Colts running backs, just really ever. I mean, I know they've had some good ones in the past, Edgerrin James, but I tend to stay away. I mean, my Mac is going in a good spot, but there's other players around there that I'm probably going to grab, hoping to stack my running backs early and maybe not have to go after a player like Mac. I absolutely love Devin Funches. You guys have seen it on the page, seen it in the chat. It's been one of my sleepers. I've written about him. I'm going to be targeting him real late. I do like Paris Campbell, a guy that we haven't mentioned, Deion Kane. I mean, there's a lot of talent in front of him. So who even knows if he's going to see the field, get out there with the ones, but he's a name that's been thrown around, even since last year. Somebody that people have been sleeping on, missed all of last year with an injury and this year, now he's kind of just buried deep into the depth chart, but, maybe he makes some noise and gets out there and starts catching passes from Andrew Luck. The tight ends, you guys pretty much touched on really well. Jack Doyle, if he's healthy, he's definitely going to be the number one. And then Eric Ebron, it's hard to imagine that he's going to duplicate what he did last year, more of a touchdown or bust kind of week. But I mean, that's pretty much how a lot of the tight ends are going to go. And I'm glad you mentioned Darius Leonard, because he was an absolute monster last year, and he's going to be a higher IDP pick in IDP leagues. And no, we don't talk about him much, but Adam Vinatieri, he's still kicking balls out there. He plays in the dome in the 8 games in Indy, and Houston has a dome too. So, and they're going to put up a lot of points, so that's going to give Adam Vinatieri plenty of opportunity, if you're in a league that has kickers, to get you some points there too. Go.
Hey, can I jump back in real quick, Jerry?
Yep.
Jerry, I forgot to mention an IDP guy, a sleeper, a guy that everybody should be looking at. Take it with your last pick, because nobody's grabbing him, but Kenny Moore. Back for the Colts. He's a nickelback type player that they keep towards the line, and he ends up blitzing in. He gets sacks. He's a playmaker, man. He's a guy that you need to be keeping your eye on. Had a great postseason, and I've been hearing really good things about him at camp.
All right, Kenny Moore, keep that name in the back of your heads, guys. Moving on, we'll go to the Jaguars. They made a big free agency splash this year, signing Nick Foles. Got rid of the Blake Bortles experience. Adam, we'll start with you on the Jags.
I think getting rid of Bortles is definitely going to help him in the long run. I think Foles is a big upgrade. he's a Super Bowl champion, but I don't know if you know, he's a guy that you can expect to win a Super Bowl just because he's done it with the Eagles. But he's definitely an upgrade. He's going to make some of these guys look good. Leonard Fournette. Man, I just want him to stay healthy. He's shown that he can be he's a bad dude when healthy. It's just, that's a big if. There isn't a lot of a wow factor behind him. If he were to go down, you have Alfred Blue, who stayed in division. He was at Houston. They did use a draft pick on, let me say his name right, Raquel Armstead, who I watched at Temple. I think he can be a huge sleeper in this backfield. If you're in a dynasty league, even though Fournette is still young, I would still grab him just for the injury history that Fournette has had. And man, Armstead, at first he was like, oh, he won't even get drafted. He went to the combine, showed out in interviews, in drills. And the next thing you know, if the combine's over, he's getting C.J. Anderson comparisons. And C.J. Anderson, when Todd Gurley went down, he helped the Rams get to the Super Bowl, even though they didn't win. He was a very good reason why they got there in the postseason. Then the wide receivers are tricky. Marquise Lee, Dede Westbrook, Chris Conley, even Keenan Cole, they're talented. But were they held back because of Bortles? It's fair to say yes, but these guys are you're going to want to draft later, or maybe even wait a couple weeks into the season to see if they put up numbers or if they put them up consistently. But one guy I would draft is Westbrook. I think he's very capable of being a wide receiver one for Nick Foles, maybe a decent flex play in fantasy. And then Conley showed flashes over in KC. It's hard to do something when you have Tyreek Hill there, because when Conley isn't flashy or nothing. And when you have a flashy guy like Hill there, some of your other, you know, the plays you make as if you're an other receiver don't get at notice because they're not as flashy as, you know, maybe what Hill's was. Defense, the defense is going to be very good. I love taking shots at you guys whenever I get a chance, and I'm not going to pass this up. They have the best Josh Allen in football, so I'm excited for him to get on the field. I was hoping that Detroit would get him, and Jacksonville stole him. He's going to be a huge IDP guy, maybe even my early season candidate for being Defensive Rookie of the Year. And then you have Taven Bryant, who was your first-round pick the previous year. With Malik Jackson no longer town, he's going to get that chance to be one of the main defensive lineman guys. Marcel Darius, which, Jerry, you know about him from Buffalo. I think he's going to be doing really well. You got Miles Jacks, Jalen Ramsey. Defense as a whole is really good, and you can pick these guys up in IDP leagues and get some decent numbers from them.
Oh, that's that Josh Allen can't throw the ball 90 yards in the air, just so you know. Eric, what do you got on the Jags?
Adam touched on most of it. Nick Foles, I think, is going to be a little bit of an upgrade, at least offer some stability. I don't know about, from a numbers standpoint, if he'll be much of an upgrade. Blake Bortles actually did put up pretty, you know, decent fantasy numbers. He couldn't ever get the job done winning, but he was good at making guys like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Those guys both had huge seasons, and he's been worse since that season. But, you know, I think he could offer some stability to these guys. I really like Keelan Cole. I think you showed out last year that he actually has some talent but couldn't get any, you know, stability from the quarterback position. And he's kind of my sleeper guy on the team. I think that his talent's going to overcome Conley, and D.D. Westbrook's a different receiver. He's the slot guy. D.D. Westbrook's a great pick in PPR. I traded him in the Dynasty League way, like right after the season last year, and kind of regret it now. I didn't get as much for him as I would have liked to. But Fournette, he's the shining light on this offense, if you want to call him that. I like getting him in the third round. He's just a guy that has absolute top five potential. He can't stay healthy, but if he's on the field all 16 games, he's going to get 300 carries or double-digit touchdowns. And, I mean, there's nothing more you can really want. And he catches the ball. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to catch 30 to 40 passes. If he's on the field 16 games, he will not finish outside the top 10. I don't see it. And he could easily find the top five. But he's a guy I like drafting in the third round, where he's going middle of the third, perfect spot for him. Josh Oliver, he's an exciting tight end for Dynasty Leagues. I like Alfred Blue as the backup to Fournette, but he doesn't offer nearly as much upside as Armstead, so whichever way you want to go there, I don't blame you. The defense is great. They need to be picked up in all leagues. Josh Allen, I grabbed him in our Dynasty IDP league, and I'm very excited about it. I think he's great. Going to be like Adam said. I think he's absolutely going to contend for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So, other than that, you know, that's all I got. Yeah.
And Jerry, if I can get in here real quick too, because Eric mentioned real quick, but I want to get a little bit deeper. Josh Oliver, I love Josh Oliver. I don't know how I forgot about him when I was first talking about him. I've told you guys about him. Huge fan. 6'5", 250 pounds. He can catch. There's very limited competition as well at that tight end position. And Nick Foles is if you want a sleeper tight end, if Josh Oliver can win this job, which you have guys, Jeff Swaim from Dallas, who I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. You have Sway. You have James, that big old Irish name, but you have guys there that aren't going to scare you at tight end. If Josh Oliver can come and use that catch radius and use that size that he used in college, if he can translate that over to the pros with a quarterback like Nick Foles, I mean, you can take a late round flyer. I mean, literally last round. If you're like Eric, you like to wait on your defense as a kicker to get closer to the season, use a late round pick on him, pick him off the waiver wire. He can definitely, you know, as crazy week as this tight end group is outside the top 3 to 5. I mean, he's really a rookie that can actually go and be a sleeper to finish him in the top 10. And he's just, he has huge potential. I'm just hoping he can translate it from college to the pros.
I definitely like that take. I like Josh Oliver. I'll be grabbing him in some, I'll be grabbing him very late in a couple of my drafts this year. That other tight end that you were going to say reminds me a lot of that Key and Peele skit, the O'Shag Hennessy. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's pretty funny. I agree with everything that you guys said, basically. One guy that you guys did not mention before Adam swooped back in and grabbed Josh Oliver, I was going to bring him up. But the other guy is DJ Chark, another guy with – I mean, if you look at the depth chart and just look at the wide receivers, they got a lot of names, but it's a lot of names that, I mean, again, it's another team in this division that they're like, people are buried on the depth chart, but there are guys that are deeper into the depth chart that could come out on top and start catching passes from the ones, Chark being one of them. I think he has one of the best chances on his own team to be out there on the field for a majority of the plays. Leonard Fournette, he's actually their only player that's going in the top 5 rounds. He's going at 306. I think you mentioned that, Eric. And then Alfred Blue seems to be the clear cuff behind him. I do have some shares of Reichwell Armstead, though, in a couple of my dynasty leagues. I do like him, and I think that if Fournette were to go down, it would be more of a timeshare between those two, so I'd be happy to play him on a couple weeks if I had to. Gardner Minshew, another guy that wasn't mentioned, not really relevant this year, even if Foles goes down. I mean, nobody's grabbing the backup tight or backup quarterback for the Jags, but maybe down the line, who knows? I mean, he was a late round pick in this last year's draft, so who knows if he is the future after Nick Foles, but definitely somebody to keep your eye out for. The defense is what the defense is. I mean, it's going to be one of the top defenses in the league. They're pretty stacked from top to bottom, bringing in Josh Allen, bringing in Quincy Williams, and then they got one of the top corners in Jalen Ramsey. They got Marcell Dareus, who is a really good player. He's had some off the field issues, but I think he kind of cleaned it up a little bit. Calais Campbell, really good. So their defense from the front to the back is going to be one of the top five defenses in the league. I probably not touching any of the wide receivers, probably not touching Nick Foles because I'm not in a lot of two QB leagues. And that's where I really see Foles being the most useful as your second quarterback. Oliver and Fournette, probably the only two guys that I'll be grabbing from this team. Moving on to the final team, the Titans. We'll start with you, Eric, on them. Their only player that's in the top 5 rounds is Derrick Henry. He's going at about 403. Eric, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, not exciting. Probably one of the lesser exciting teams in fantasy, if you ask me. Mariota, I was high on when he came into the league. I had big hopes for him, but he has not proven he can do it. One year he was playing well, but he got hurt. That's kind of been his forte since, he keeps getting hurt. And I don't know if it was the offense. Maybe the offense will be different this year, but I'm not in on Mariota because of that. I think Corey Davis is a great talent, but I think that he's ruined by the offense and by Marcus Mariota. If Corey Davis could go to a different team, or if a great quarterback could go to the Titans, I think that their offense would actually be really good because they have A.J. Brown, and they have Corey Davis, and they have Adam Humphries, who they brought over. They have and Delanie Walker is a tight end. They have a great receiving core, but it's just unexciting because Mariota is so unexciting. Derrick Henry, he's so polarizing, man. It's when he's good, he's just unbelievably awesome. But when he's bad, he's so freaking bad. And I don't want any part of it. I've fallen for it 2 years in a row. Last year I had him through half the season in a few leagues and dropped him in all those leagues. And then in the last 4 games of the year, actually the guy that picked him up beat me with him and kicked me out of the playoffs in the only league I missed the playoffs in. So yeah, I'm done with that whole experience. If I can get him in the 6th round, I'd take him, but he's going in the beginning of the 4th, and he's hurt right now. I'm not in on Henry. The only guy I would consider would be Walker, and that would be late, but there's some guys I kind of like more. I like Reed more, and I like Mark Andrews more, and they go after Walker does, so I don't actually end up with any shares of him. So as a whole, I don't end up with any shares of any of the players on the Titans. Their defense is good. They have a very solid defense with a good defensive coach. So they should be considered to be taken. But, yeah, I'm just not exciting to me.
All right, Adam, let's hear your thoughts. And one guy that Eric didn't mention was A.J. Brown. I'm sure you got some things to say about him.
Well, Eric nailed it perfectly where he mentioned this offense and is good. It's just Marcus Mariota is holding this team back. I mean, on paper, if you look at this team with – if you look at it with a Breeze, a Nick Foles, I mean, a quarterback that's just better than Mariota, you're looking at a team that can go week in and week out. You have a favorable, you know, matchup no matter who they play and can potentially compete for a Super Bowl. I mean, there's no big weakness on this team outside of quarterback. You know, A.J. Brown is going to – if this is Mariota's last year or somehow he improves, A.J. Brown's going to be huge. I mean, I don't know how he didn't get drafted in the first round. He was definitely a round one guy. The talent's there, phenomenal route runner, catch radius. He can burn you a little bit. I think some people might sleep on his speed a little. I think he's going to be a perfect complement to Corey Davis. Bringing in Adam Humphries was so smart. I think Humphries is a perfect – guy to pair up with Corey Davis and to team just have a trio of Brown, Davis, and Humphries should make Mariota it definitely improve. If Mariota doesn't improve, he's just not able to play quarterback. I mean, Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, a good offensive line, a very good defense. You have, like Eric said, a defensive-minded coach. He played the game. He knows the defense inside and out due to his, you know, long history in playing in the NFL. This team can compete, and this team won 9 games last year with a mediocre at best quarterback. I mean, you give this team to hell, maybe even Eli Manning. I mean, you're taking to a team that's a legitimate threat. I mean, it's just Mariota just can't do it. I mean, they traded for Ryan Tannehill, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, even though Tannehill isn't a savior by any means, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually see Tannehill take over at some point of the season. It's just Mariota, just he's not that good of a quarterback. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's when he first got drafted, it was, well, he's a rookie, and then it was, oh, he didn't have the weapons. They drafted Henry, they signed Lewis, they drafted Davis. It's what more can you do? It's either you put up, or since your contract's up, you're out of town. So I'm going to even go bolder. I mean, if Mariota leaves this team, I wouldn't be surprised as the way this offense is built. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Teddy Bridgewater comes to Tennessee, because I think this, you know, the style of play, the way their scheme is set up, it's meant for Marcus Mariota, the quarterback that can run, open up more, or gets more time using his legs, and that's Teddy Bridgewater as well. So I'm gonna say, if you know, right now, I'm gonna play this back too when free agency starts. If Mariota does not do well and he ends up not getting re-signed, it's gonna be Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, you guys pretty much covered everything. Adam Humphries, he had a chance to sign with New England, or New England at least was interested in him and decided to go to the Titans. And so let's see, I mean, if he helps out Mariota. Mariota is in a contract year, just like we talked about Winston when we did the NFC South. We got Mariota in the AFC South that he's fighting for his job, basically. He's got to play well. He's got to help. I mean, there's no reason for him not to succeed. He's got weapons all around. Maybe the running game isn't what you want it to be. I mean, I'm not high on Derrick Henry either. I'm not touching Deion Lewis. I'm really not going to touch any of these running backs. Corey Davis, I would definitely take a stab at. Adam Humphries, I would take a stab at. A.J. Brown, I would grab him in dynasty leagues. But, I mean, they definitely have the weapons for Mariota to succeed. You guys already touched on the defense a little bit, but just one section of the defense that I want to talk about as a whole. Their defensive backs on paper are, I mean, they're probably one of the best group of defensive backs in the league, and it all goes through Adoree Jackson. He's their one of their cornerbacks, and if you play in an IDP league and you also get points for either kick returns, punt returns, not just touchdowns but the yardage, Adoree Jackson is definitely a guy to look at, because he is their kick returner, he's their punt returner, and he's he's going to make some plays just on the defensive side of the ball. So overall, their defense is good. Their offense can be good, but it all starts with that quarterback. Even if Marcus Mariota goes down, Ryan Tannehill's behind him, and it's a scary situation, but one of those quarterbacks has to take advantage and get these playmakers the ball and maybe see if they can compete with the rest of the AFC South. So that about does it for the AFC South. Do you guys have any players that maybe we forgot about that on any of these teams that maybe we forgot about?
Well, one player I think we should really keep an eye on is Higdon from Michigan. He was an undrafted free agent for Houston. And now that they cut, there's a clear opportunity behind Lamar Miller now. He's someone you definitely have to watch. I mean, with me being from Michigan, I've seen him a bunch of times. He's a very good running back. I mean, he's definitely someone I can see at least making some type of role for themselves in an NFL offense. And with Houston, if this line can improve, and if he can actually get that RB2 spot behind Lamar Miller, I think he could have some really sneaky value this year over in Houston.
Eric, any last minute players you want to talk about?
I don't think so, man. I think we pretty much covered the guys that I wanted to talk about. Yeah, I'm looking through it. Kevin Byard is a top flight IDP defensive back for the Titans. So, I mean, he's definitely somebody you should be looking at that just re-signed him. But no, I'm pretty good.
All right, who wins this division? Is it Houston or Indy, or does Jacksonville or Tennessee come in and swoop up the division title?
I think it's Indy.
Yeah, it's Indy unless Marcus Mariota improves. If he improves and actually plays, not even as a number one or two pick, as just a round one pick, I think they could actually sneak in and actually take that division.
All right. Well, that definitely a good show. We're going to be talking about the wide receivers in our next podcast, our wide receiver rankings that we updated. We got our draft guide coming out. That's going to be coming out at the end of this week or early next week. We're just putting the final touches on it together. We got starting to post some mock drafts on the page. We got all the different training camp news is coming out on the page. And the page I'm talking about, that's the Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook. So definitely check us out there. It's getting to the – I mean, we're in August right now. We're full-blown in August. It's draft month. Still a little early for redrafts, but, I mean, you got keeper questions. You got trade questions. You got any kind of dynasty league questions. Anything that you got that you need to make your draft better, make it more comfortable for you, just send us a message to post on the page. Maybe it's something that we even cover here on the podcast or on the page, and we'll definitely try our best to help you guys out. But Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook, and we'll see you guys next show.